The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We want more American coverage between now and presidential election day, so we're delighted that Cal Thomas is with us tonight. And as Marion McKeown isn't available, Larry Donnelly is law lecturer at University of Galway, political columnist with the Journal.ie. And I believe, Larry, you're down at the Kennedy Summer School in New Ross, which has opened today. Briefly, what have you got on the agenda for that?
Well, we've got a great festival of Irish and American politics, culture and history with a lot of top-notch guests, including the present Taoiseach and former Taoiseach Enda Kenny, who will be with us tomorrow evening. But we have a host of really, really good guests throughout the weekend, and as Cal can attest, having spoken at it before.
Okay. I wonder, at the moment, I suspect there are as many people interested in American politics as there is in Irish politics. What do you think will they get from the appearance in a TV interview tonight of Kamala Harris alongside Tim Walz, which I think, since she was announced as candidate, will be her first sit-down interview?
Yeah, it's a great question, Matt. I think that the Americans and the whole world, indeed, are waiting to see what they get from Kamala Harris. You know, there has been a real reticence to engage in these sort of unscripted interviews, and there are lots of rumors out there that her people are concerned as to how she will perform, and there's a lot of conjecture that the reason why Tim Walz is joining her is as some sort of buttress against that awkward moment, that question that she finds herself unable to answer, or if she starts laughing, all things that have happened in the past. So I think it's fair to say that the Democrats are nervous about how this evening may go. But on the other hand, if it does go reasonably well, then it will be much ado about nothing, and the campaign continues apace. One thing I would say is I think that the Harris people, or Democrats generally, are convinced that the sort of banter that we see between Harris and Walz, where she is the sort of, you know, young, hip, you know, glamorous candidate, and he's this sort of old fuddy-duddy from the Midwest. They're convinced that that sort of banter really works with the electorate. I'm not so sure about that, but only time will tell.
They're only a year between them as well. It's not like she's young and he's old.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary, and the video has been circulated quite widely online, and it's really, you know, her giving him you know, a course in pop culture, in sort of criticizing his musical tastes as being, you know, from another generation. All of that kind of banter, I think, probably plays well with a certain demographic, but as we've discussed before, Matt, the road to victory here through the Electoral College runs through Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And I'm just not so sure this type of positioning, this type of messaging will work for them.
Okay, Cal Thomas, what are you expecting out of tonight's TV interview with CNN?
Well, first, Matt, I don't like that it's being recorded. I'd rather have it live, because I think a recording is going to lead to the usual conspirators saying, uh-oh, maybe she did poorly and they edited it. I'm sure CNN will deny that. But I have a list of questions that I would like to ask her. Number one, and I think the most important question to start, why did you engage in what seems to be a cover-up of Joe Biden's cognitive decline? It's now obvious to everybody, especially after his disastrous debate with Donald Trump, that he had clear cognitive issues. And yet you said, Madam Vice President, that he was sharp as a tack in private, and I'm there with him all the time, and he has no problem. Then I'd ask her about all of the flip-flops she's done. She flips and flops more than a fish out of water. First she said she was for price controls. Now she says she's against it. Then she said she is against fracking, which is really big in Western Pennsylvania, and as Larry correctly pointed out, a key state for either candidate to win the presidency. Then she just reversed herself recently. She had said she wants all electric cars in the United States by 2035, and she now has reversed her position on that. So my question is, which ones are we to believe?
But wouldn't it also be true that Donald Trump, just to take one example, was against cryptocurrency? He's now for cryptocurrency now that he's in bed with the crypto pushers.
Yeah, very fair, Matt. Same on abortion and several other issues. You know, if you never trust a politician, you'll never be disappointed. But I think that, you know, Harris has a greater load to carry because not only is she a new face, but she is the first modern presidential candidate never to be having been tested by news conferences, town hall meetings, other encounters with voters. She got this nomination not from a single vote in a primary election. It was just handed to her. And so I think she has an obligation to engage more with the media, which are not screaming loud enough, in my view, and with the voters before the election, which is rapidly approaching.
All right, back to you, Larry. A couple of things. She is gaining, it seems, on Trump in the Sunbelt states where Biden struggled, according to Fox polls. And she is very much going hard with new ads continuing to tie Trump to Project 2025. For those who may not be familiar with it, Larry, what is Project 2025 and why might it be a winner for Harris to focus on Trump's links to it?
I think it's a clear winner for her to focus on. Project 25 is a really radical right-wing agenda that advocates, among other things, firing reams and reams of civil servants in Washington, D.C., rolling back all environmental protections, a whole host of different things that most Americans would find deeply, deeply objectionable. Now, Trump has said that he doesn't intend, to go through with it. He's tried to distance himself from it, but I don't think he's done so very effectively, when the reality is it is his pals who have devised Project 25. And more broadly, Harris is on to a winner when she continues to say that this guy is dangerous. And when you point to what some of the things he has done and said, they are quite unhinged. And when she gets the focus back on that and back on the dangers of a Trump second term, untethered to any political or electoral reality, surrounded not by experts or decent people, but by sycophants, then she's on to a winner. As Cal says, there are some very tough questions that she needs to answer. But, I mean, the point is, yes, she has pivoted on a number of issues. How well and how credibly she responds to the questions that put her to the mat, that query her on those issues, that may be dispositive in this campaign. And the last thing I'd say is the communist and socialist label has been thrown around an awful lot by Trump and others on the right. I think Harris needs to say to them, to the American people, they say communism and socialism, they say that is like, akin to forgiving the extraordinary debt loans that college graduates have in the United States. They say that's things like taking on the exorbitant grocery prices that we have. Whatever label you want to put on it, Kamala Harris's approach is more popular with the Americans who are going to decide this election than the sort of laissez-faire, pro-rich policies that Donald Trump and the Republicans would espouse.
0874100102 gives you the last word. Cal is saying all these things about Kamala Harris, and they may be true, but somehow she's still a better option than Trump is. Another one says, so the grown-up candidate has to answer proper questions. Shame the disgraceful opponent, Trump, doesn't get the same level of criticism from Cal or from any US journalist. Then we have another one that says, did you hear Dr. Phil's interview with Donald Trump? Ego Central. Let's hear a little bit of it, because in the interview with Dr. Phil on Tuesday, Donald Trump speculated about why he survived the recent attempt on his life.
So I shouldn't be with you, so...
Is there a purpose?
Well,
is there a reason you think you were spared?
I mean, the only thing I can think is that God loves our country and he thinks we're going to bring our country back. He wants to bring it back. It's so bad right now what's happening. When you look at the crime, the horrible things that are happening inside our country, and it can be solved. It can be solved fairly quickly. It has to be God. I mean, how can you say it's luck when it's, 20 million to one, okay? I mean, it's just not possible that I was in that position. It's the only position where that bullet could have missed.
And you believe in God?
I do.
You believe God's hand was in this that day?
I believe so, yeah. I do.
And you talk about the country. You believe you have more to do. You weren't done. You were spared for a reason.
Well, God believes that, I guess. We'll have to see.
Cal, he's God's candidate.
Matt, I don't go to my dentist to get my oil changed in my car, and I don't go to Donald Trump for my theological worldview. That is, nobody is ever going to accuse Donald Trump of knowing anything about God. The closest he gets to a Bible is probably the Gideon Bible in one of his hotel rooms. And to the listener, by the way, who was nice enough to write in and say, I'm not critical of Trump. I've been critical a lot of Trump, his character, his behavior, his bad language, his demeaning of other people, his calling people names. I've said that over and over in my column and on this program. So, you know, I'm no sycophant for Donald Trump. I wish they'd both go away. I wish we could restart this entire election process and get some decent candidates on both sides that people are enthusiastic about instead of having to settle for the evil of two lessers.
Okay, I want to play a little bit more of the Dr. Phil interview because Donald Trump brought up the issue of why he lost to Joe Biden by 5 million votes in California in the 2020 election.
I look at California. I gave a speech. I had a crowd so big. I said, there's no way I could lose California. But automatically, they mark it down if you're a Republican as a loss. Then you lose by 5 million votes. I said, 5 million votes? I guarantee if Jesus came down and was the vote counter, I would win California, okay? In other words, if we had an honest vote counter, a really honest vote counter, I'd do great with the Hispanics, great. I mean, at a level that no Republican's ever done. But if we had an honest vote counter, I would win California.
Ah, there's nothing more we can say about that. But I want to ask you, Larry Donnelly, to finish one other thing. Arlington Cemetery. Why has Donald Trump going for a photo opportunity at Arlington Cemetery outraged those with military connections?
Well, it's strictly forbidden. I mean, there are wreaths laid at tombs of unknown soldiers on a regular basis. And Trump and his team proceeded to go in and, contrary to longstanding policy, started snapping photos of Trump in the cemetery. This is just, which is deeply offensive, but this is just the latest, Matt, in a number of instances where Trump has seemingly gone out of his way to offend military veterans, a group that has overwhelmingly backed him in the past. One wonders exactly what goes through his mind when he deliberately offends them and says things that so many of us as Americans who deeply revere the sacrifices that they made, when he mocks those sacrifices. And it points again to the fundamental bottom line here. He lacks the temperament to be president of the United States.
Larry Donnelly, Cal Thomas, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.